Your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 74. If I might comment for a moment on the proclamation of forgiveness in Isaiah 63. Notice what the Lord says, "Mine own arm it brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me." Of course, it is the fury against the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins that the Lord is speaking of there. Psalm 74, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. O God, why hast thou... a maskil of Asaph. That is verse 1 in the Hebrew, so I don't want to forget it. A maskil of Asaph. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, where thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in thy sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous, according as he hath lifted up axes upon thick trees, but now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, "Let us destroy them together." They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces, and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. O let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies. The tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We have in Psalm 74 one of those what we call plaintive psalms. It is a plaintive psalm in that there is trouble, there is distress, there is difficulty, and so the psalmist is minded in the midst of that difficulty to call upon the name of the Lord. These kinds of plaintive psalms help us to remember that there is no trouble that befalls us that is too small or too trivial to come to the Lord with. These are encouragements to us. Psalm singers ought to know this above all other Christians, because we sing of these things so often. We sing of trouble and affliction and of coming to the Lord with these difficulties. It is a maskil of Asaph. A maskil is a wisdom psalm. It is a psalm for instruction. And so we must take instruction from what we see the psalmist doing by way of his example. So coming to the Lord then with our troubles, we notice that the psalmist is very open. He's very clear, very forward, we might say. He is accustomed to coming before the Lord. It is obviously a well-practiced habit with him, such that he comes before the Lord and says, "Lord, why? Why have you cast us off? Is it forever? Why do we feel this deprivation from thy smiling presence, from the light of thy countenance?" There is a why. And brothers and sisters, afflictions are indeed opportunities to ask the Lord why. The Lord does not send afflictions for no purpose. Right? And we know that we are always liable to that. I know that there is a strain of Christianity today that talks about, well, if you do good, you will receive good from the Lord. And if you do ill, then you will receive ill from the Lord. And so when you suffer afflictions, what you must be doing is something really terrible that God's getting after you about. And we've said before, we'll say it again, that if God dealt with us after that measure, we'd never get out of trouble. There would be no deliverance from trouble because we're always liable to chastisements, and those much more severe than what we receive. And so the psalmist writes here that when we are in any kind of trouble, we ought to go to the Lord. Now, what does the psalmist cry out for? He cries for the Lord to remember. Remember this, the Lord is not forgetful. Crying out to the Lord to remember is simply a plea for favor. It is a plea for his grace. It is a plea for his mercy. And so he says, "Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance. Remember this Mount Zion where thou hast dwelt." The Lord doesn't forget. He doesn't forget anything. What the psalmist is asking for is to remember favorably, in favor, these kinds of things, right? To remember us favorably, to remember Mount Zion favorably. And he says, "This Mount Zion where thou hast dwelt." He's not informing the Lord, "Hey, remember, you used to live here." He's informing us and himself of God's presence with his people. So when the psalmist writes, "Remember," what he himself is charged to remember and what we are charged to remember are God's past mercies, favorable times. And so when we remember those times, we are minded then to receive afflictions with greater care, with greater diligence. All right, so then verse 4, he talks about the enemies of the Lord and what they're doing. "Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation." And this draws all the way down to verse 10. And there are several things that are important about this passage, this section that we need to talk about. Notice it says, "A man was famous according as he hath lifted up axes upon thick trees, but now they break down the carved work." There's a contrast there. Before, axes were brought against thick trees for doing what? For building up the temple, for lifting it up. And a man was famous for doing so. He hewed down those thick trees, and they were brought into the sanctuary. They were the beams of cedar and so on that held up the temple of the Lord. But now what happens? Notice the contrast. But now there are men coming with axes to break down. To break down the sanctuary, to lay it in the dust. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They have meditated in their hearts as to what they would do. They have said, "Let us destroy together." All right, now notice what he says. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. Now, when was this written? Well, we don't know exactly when it was written. a psalm of Asaph. Now, this could be the original Asaph in the days of David, like we talked about before. Or it might be one of his sons, that prophetic family that still retained the name of their father Asaph. It could be one of them later on. This seems to speak of the day when the sanctuary was laid waste during the siege of Nebuchadnezzar and the conquering of Jerusalem, although there were a couple of other times, at least one earlier in the history of Israel, when the enemy came into Jerusalem and, you know, in the days of Jehoram, the temple was attacked it wasn't brought to the ground, but it was severely damaged and needed to be rebuilt. It could be that. Or it could be that Asaph is speaking in the days of David and prophesying of those days to come. It's very difficult to know exactly when the prophecy was written. But when he talks about the synagogues being burned up in all the land, this speaks of a force that has covered over the face of Judah entirely, right? And what's interesting about that is that there are many scholars that believe that the synagogues are a post-exilic invention. Well, we don't think so. We believe that synagogue worship was established in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3, where the Lord commanded the children of Israel through Moses, after you guys have separated out into all your tribes, every Lord's day, every Sabbath, you'll have a holy convocation. You'll have a place to come together to worship the Lord. And so this scripture here in Psalm 74 speaks to that issue. And it says that there were synagogues established by the time that the temple was brought to the ground. And they were burned up along with the destruction of the rest of the country. All right, so then in verse 10, the psalmist beseeches the Lord, "Lord, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever?" And the enemy there is not our personal enemies, but God's enemy. He's already said that. He's already said that back up in verse 4. So how long shall the enemy reproach? And then he says, "Why withdrawest thou thine hand, even thy right hand?" Of course, that is the hand of God's salvation. It is as if God has ceased working and he's put his hand in his jacket. Nope, you're on your own. And so the psalmist beseeches the Lord, "Pluck it out of thy bosom," right? Bring forth that strong right hand of salvation and sweep the enemies away. All right, so then the psalmist encourages himself by praising the Lord for past mercies. This is a very common theme in the Psalter and something that we ought to remember in difficult days. Even if those past mercies are the past mercies that we see in Scripture. In other words, not past mercies to us personally, because we share a particular solidarity with the people of God of all ages, don't we? Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we and him were glad when we crossed the Red Sea. There is the way that we speak that is a scriptural way of understanding our covenant solidarity with those who believed in Yahweh from the days of Adam. And so their deliverances are our deliverances. Their encouragements are our encouragements. And so notice what he says. "Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Thou divided the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driedst up the mighty rivers. The day is thine, the night is thine." So notice, not only is it past mercies, but today as God's mercies continue in the day and in the night. And so the psalmist encourages himself with past and present mercies from the Lord. "Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name." And so we learn from this passage that only fools blaspheme the name of the Lord. Blasphemy is the folly of fools, isn't it? And what is blasphemy? What is blasphemy? I think we have a hard time understanding what blasphemy is today. Blasphemy can manifest itself in several ways. Blasphemy is a twisting of Scripture. To twist Scripture is blasphemous. To teach false things about God is blasphemy. Isn't it? To say things falsely about God is blasphemy. To speak to God as if He were your servant is blasphemy. Again, this is the trade, the stock and store of fools. To think that the Lord will not do evil, neither will He do good, as those idolatrous priests said in Zephaniah chapter 1, is blasphemy. To think that because the Lord has not yet judged us that He won't, to use His patience and His mercy as an opportunity further to sin against Him is blasphemy. Blasphemy is a wicked and pervasive sin, and it is the stock and store of fools. Right? What does he say? Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. All right, so then in verse 19, he uses a very endearing term. In the psalm that we sing, the Psalter translation, it says, deliver thy turtle. And we've talked about that before. Turtle. Turtles, you know, I mean, I know some of you probably love turtles. I understand this. And what I'm about to say, I don't mean to offend. But turtles are just nasty creatures. Unless, of course, they're deep fried. But the turtle dove was this, well, you know what a turtle dove is. It coos. It makes sweet little noises. It's soft and feathery. And so you can understand why the psalmist would characterize the people of God as a turtle dove. So he says, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked, and forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Doves aren't particularly they're not a particularly stout bird, are they? No, they're not. They need protection. And so that weakness of theirs is endearing, isn't it? And so the psalmist cries out unto the Lord, forget not thy turtle dove. All right, so then the psalm ends with one more crying out on behalf of God's people that the Lord would rise up against the enemies. But notice that he is rising up to plead his own cause. Verse 22. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Remember this, that in reproaching the people of God, we are reproaching God himself. That when the enemy rises up against God's people, he rises up against God. So let us never enter into the estate of speaking against God's people. Right? All right, thus ends the reading. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer. Let us pray.